Jesus' ministry. Fella by the name of John the Baptist. Y'all know who he is. The one that wore camel clothing. He ate locusts. He ate honey. He ate a lot of wild stuff. In fact, if y'all would have saw a guy walk around like that today, you know what y'all would say about him? Man, that guy is downright crazy. Praise God. But guess what he did at the beginning of Jesus' ministry? He said these words at John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John was out baptizing, and he looking around at those who were coming to be baptized. And then he saw one coming. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And look what he said he came to do. He came which takes away what? The sin of the world. Praise God. And we find that the Apostle Paul.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Gentle Redeemer,
God with us, yeah. You are tuned into the spiritual part of the broadcast.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in. That's what as evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
We are representatives of God. We represent the kingdom of God. That's what we were talking about. And we read, the last scripture we read was 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. And it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." We need to know that the kingdom of God has power behind it. The word of God is power. It has power behind it. We just can't stand up and give people a lot of word and there's no power behind it. So preachers, teachers of the gospel, pastors, let's make sure that we stay before God until the power of God began to flow in us and through us so that we can do those mighty works that God has called us to do. We're going to read Romans 14 and 17. It's "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." God gave us Jesus to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus, who is his power. I'm talking about Jesus. He's God's power. And we have the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, he said every name, every knee has to bow. We have all power over all Satan's power. Now, why can't we be reliable and true representatives to God as he has called us to be? You know, we can't rob God. If he have to, God will raise up rocks in our place. And I know not any of us would like to be replaced by a rock. But I'm telling you right now, we better straighten up and we better get the work done that God has called us to do. The time is passing. I hear over the news where people are being killed. Sometimes every day, every minute, every 3 minutes, people are being killed. And not just in one area of the world, but all over the world, people are being killed. You know, murders is taking place. Killings is taking place. People are killing people, and then they're turning around and killing themselves. Now, that should show us that the world, it's not like we used to see it. It's not what like we're used to seeing the world, where every 4 or 5 months, we hear somebody getting killed. But right now, we're hearing in our neighborhood, people are getting killed. Every Sunday, people are getting killed in this neighborhood. A neighborhood not too far from where we're living. People are getting killed. Every Sunday, there's a murder taking place. There's a killing taking place. Now, that we should know that Satan has unleashed demons and devils in these people. You know, it's not the people, but it's the demons and the devils that the people have allowed to come in them. The Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. We cannot give Satan a place in our life. But when we argue and we fuss and we have cross words toward one another, the Bible said don't go to sleep. Don't you allow yourself to go to sleep and you're mad or hateful toward somebody. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And you know, I believe people have forgotten that scripture. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And what that means is when you're angry and mad with somebody, don't let the sun go down with you going and saying, look, forgive me, I'm sorry. Even if you know that you didn't do what they said you did, you go and tell them, look, I'm sorry. Even if I caused you to think like that, I'm sorry. And then you got it off your conscience. And if you happen to die that night, you're going to be all right. You'll go straight to heaven. So we got to realize the scriptures is there for a reason. God put them there so that we could keep our life straight, so that we could go straight and do the things that he has called us to do. And saints of God, it's time for us to start doing that right now. God's power must be demonstrated. That's what we was talking about. His power has to be demonstrated. How else will people know that the power of God is real and that God is real if they don't see a demonstration of what we're talking about? In 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, Paul is speaking, and here's what he said, and my preaching and my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. That's the way we're going to have to stop just talk, and that's all we do. We're going to have to demonstrate this with the Spirit and the power of God, the things that the Word is saying. So, and then he says in verse 5, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's be clear. God has endowed us with power from on high. He has given us, oh my goodness, he has given us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And the Son has given us his power, and he has given us his authority to teach and to train, to enlist, and to save souls. That's a precious job. That's a powerful job to usher these people into the kingdom of God. That's our assignment, saints of God. And what are we doing? What are we doing now? What are we doing with all this power that we have been given? Church, it's high time that we stop pushing our own agenda and seriously get to work and get the work done that God has called us to do. This generation has to keep the torch lit and burning high so that the church can keep growing and keep working and keep doing the works of God. It's not going to be over until God says over. So we have to get that settled in our minds. We have to get that settled in our minds so that we can represent the kingdom of God and the way God has designed and he has set forth for us to do. Amen. Saints of God, this is a precious work that we have to do. There's plenty of precious souls out there that need to be saved. There's so many souls. People would not be taking their lives if they knew that God was there to help them. We have to do a better job at getting the word out, letting them know that God is there for them. You don't have to go around being disgruntled and not knowing what to do. We can speak to you and tell you God is able. He's able to do anything. There's nothing too hard for God to do. You know, we can take no credit I want you to know that we can take no credit, and we can we can't even stipulate or demand or arrange what God has set forth for us to do in our own way. We will pay a penalty for being disobedient and having such bad behavior toward God. God does not want us to take matters in our own hand. He has set up things for us to do, and we need to be doing just what he told us to do. Saints of God, please remember that you didn't die for anybody. You didn't create a soul. You didn't create your own self. God created us, and he gave us a book, 66 books, in which he tells us how he wants us to do things, how he wants us to run his church, how we should live our life so that we could come back to him. See, we were disobedient in the first place. Adam and Eve was disobedient, and they lost us the kingdom where we had everything made. Jesus was taking care of everything. He watered the grass. He watered everything. He did all the work. All we had to do was listen to him and do the things that he told us to do. Adam and Eve messed that up. Don't let us mess this up. You know, it's our fault. We're the ones that sinned. God didn't sin. But Jesus came and he paid for our sins. Now let us not just sit back and just, I don't know what we're waiting for. I really don't know what pastors, teachers, and preachers are waiting for and what they're thinking about when they're trying to push their own agenda and do their own thing instead of doing what God has said for us to do. We have to know that our assignment, we have to know what it is, and we have to know what God's wishes are so that we can carry them out. Jesus knew what his assignment was. And if we look in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." See, there are so many bruised people. And I'm not talking about physically bruised. I'm talking about mentally bruised. There's so many people that are held captive with cigarettes and alcohol and dope and illicit sex and just the mindset that Satan has put in them to turn them from God. They're captive in those things. And Jesus said that he was sent to set the captives free and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he completed his task. He accomplished all that he was assigned to do. And he, guess what? He did it God's way. He wasn't like Burger King, "I'm going to do it my way." Guess what? Saints of God, preachers of the gospel, you're not going to get paid for doing it your way. You're going to get payment, but you're not going to lack the payment that you receive from God for doing it your way. I hear him, I hear Jesus say in John 6:38, and it says, we know Jesus is speaking, and he said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He didn't come to do his own will. I want you to know that. He said this. "I didn't come to do my own will," he said, "but the will of him that sent me." And in John, that's what we have to do, saints. I read this because I want you to know that we have to do the will of God also. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to do it, what do you think about us? John 5:19, Jesus is answering a question. And in verse 19, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. Now, I ask you this question. This is to the church, to those leaders in particular.